We'll have the reading of the scriptures, and Hannah is going to come and read the scriptures for us.
I'm reading from Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley.
Good, well, we are continuing in this little book of Ruth. It's a beautiful book. It really is a simple narrative in many ways, but it is profound in its depth and what it has to teach us. It's a narrative, as we've been seeing, that's filled with pain and emotional pain and spiritual tensions and restoration and redemption. Now, the narrative sort of moves in another direction tonight. Thus far, it's been sort of Naomi's been the main sort of figure after the first five verses of chapter 1. And they've returned to Bethlehem. Well, she's returned, and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, has accompanied her. And now in chapter 2, Boaz and Ruth become the main figures, and will be, actually, from this point on, throughout the rest of the book. And Boaz is introduced, really, there in the opening verses. And we'll learn more about him, really, next week. But I want to focus this week on Ruth. But it is wonderful how God works out his plans and purposes, isn't it? And we see in this book how God's plans and purposes are worked out as we go through these chapters through a budding romance. I wonder if you ever consider God's plans to be worked out through a romance? I'm sure not. Probably would say prayer, yes, and preaching, yes, but romance, no. Well, the book of Song of Songs is all about romance. Godly relationships that take place there, a man and a woman. And here we see God's divine plan being worked out, and we'll see more of that as we move into the next chapters. But here we see God's hand at work, and really his appointment of bringing these two people together. And we'll see in this that the ancestry of the Lord Jesus can be traced back to part of it, at least to Ruth and Boaz. Well, how can this be justified in one sense? Because Ruth was a Moabite and Boaz was an Israelite, and the Israelites were to have no contact with the Moabites. Well, the bottom line really is, at this point, Ruth is no longer a Moabite. When she arrives in Bethlehem, she is no longer a Moabite in that sense. Spiritually, she's left that spiritual roots behind. She's left them behind. Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Remember these verses here. And when Naomi tried to send her back to her own people and her own land, and in verse 16, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more so, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she couldn't persuade her otherwise, she allowed her to accompany her. Now, these are compelling verses, as I said last week, I think, on these verses there that I've just read. They're wonderful. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus said to a man, follow me. And he said, first let me go and say goodbye to my father and mother and so on. And here is a woman that's cleaving to her mother-in-law, just as the believer needs to cleave to the Lord Jesus. Yes, Ruth had in her veins Moabite blood. Yes, her features were no doubt those of a people belonging to Moab, and her tongue was of that of a people belonging to Moab. But she, at this point, is a child of the covenant. She is a child of the covenant of God, because she has come to faith. And everyone who comes to faith is a child of the covenant, whether they're Jewish or anybody else. Because if we look back in Genesis, remember that great promise was that Abraham would be a blessing to the nations. And the children of the covenant are children of faith. And that's Paul's argument in the New Testament, in Romans and Galatians. So Ruth is a child of the covenant. She's come to faith. Boaz is a child of the covenant. And this romance, God will use it to bring forward in his purposes the promises that he has made to Abraham. Wonderful words. Your God will be my God, says Ruth. And Ruth is a new woman here. And in Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we read these words spoken from Boaz's own mouth. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And now how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That's the important words there. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You see, Ruth has taken refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have taken refuge under the wings of God. Well, our theme for tonight really is, I want to look at, is Ruth, a woman of noble character. And then we'll look next Sunday evening, all being well, at Boaz, a man of noble character. But we'll focus on Ruth tonight. Now, at this point, Ruth is a widow, and a young widow, because she's referred to in the passage as, whose young woman is this? She's recognized to be young. But although she's a widow here, we could say very much that she reflects the wife of noble character that we read about in Proverbs chapter 31. And it's really worth going and reading that tonight if you're not too tired after tonight and the clock going forward. But have a look at that. She's proactive. She takes initiative in this passage. Look at verse 2 here in this passage where she says, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.'" She takes initiative. Now, although the story is heartwarming, it is a serious situation here for ourselves. We have to keep getting that into our minds, how serious this situation was for Naomi and for Ruth. Not only are they grief-stricken, they're financially stricken, they're destitute, they're impoverished. And Ruth is now taking the initiative and she's taking the lead. Well, it's been up to this point, Naomi, she comes back, Ruth tags along, and everything so far, it's the questions in chapter 1 that we saw last week are being directed at Naomi, but now it's Ruth that takes the initiative. But notice as well here her submissive nature. She speaks to her mother-in-law, "Let me go into the field and glean." You know, she doesn't just go off and do something, she actually runs it past her mother-in-law. And she doesn't dump her mother-in-law. She doesn't sort of say, "Well, I'm here and I'm going to see what opportunities are available for me." She doesn't do any of that. She's good to her word. Remember what we just read? These verses, "May the Lord do to me and more if anything but death shall separate me from you." People are always sort of making promises these days, and then when something better comes along, they just drop it. And they say, "Well, something better came along," regardless of their commitments and their pledges and their promises. She's a woman of character, and time has stood the test. And that's a challenge for us, to be those of character. Well, that's our theme, really, a woman of character. But the first thing I want to look at is Ruth was courageous. She was courageous. Now, the narrative shows us that she is courageous, and this is pressed in so many different ways from chapter 1, how she clings to her mother-in-law, how she comes to this foreign land, to a foreign people, and all the rest. But now it's courageous in the sense that she takes the initiative, she takes the lead, and she makes this decision to go out to the field and to work. Now, this is not unique in itself, and it's not groundbreaking. She's not the only woman that was out working in the fields. We see this in verse 8 when Boaz talks to her and tells her to stay close to the young women, his young women, women that were working for him as well. There were many people working in the fields. Remember, there had been years of famine. And now God is blessing the land. And people are coming out. And when there was a good harvest, it meant for the people that there was opportunity. There was work. There was food. And there was substance for life. And people were glad of that. And they got involved. And they took advantage of that. And then you see a man like Boaz that we'll see next week, a good man, a godly man, and how he treats his workers. That's wonderful. And we'll see more of that next week. So it's not as it was courageous for these women. Yes, they're working hard. But it's courageous for Ruth. Why? Well, firstly, yes, she's a woman in the society that she was living in. So it was difficult for women, and women had to be courageous in so many different ways, like the wife of Proverbs that I've mentioned. But she's also a foreigner. So she's really at the bottom of the list here. She's a woman and she's a foreigner. And clearly with that came dangers. And we can pick something of that up in Boaz's own words when he says, "I've told the young men not to touch you or to do anything against you." And she has to prepare herself for this danger and the difficulties of that environment. Let us say Boaz in verse 9, he says to her, "Keep your eyes on the field where my women are working and stay with them. And I've told the young men not to touch you." You know, she could have been treated roughly or she could have been molested. There was all of these things open and the dangers that were open to her as a foreigner. So where does she get this courage from to go out to the fields as a foreigner, as an outsider? Well, of course, a motivation can be hunger. If somebody's hungry enough, they'll do things. But I think here there's more to it than that, than just hunger. Yes, there's hunger and there's a need and there's a necessity. But there's faith. You see, that's the real motivator here as well for Ruth. Notice what she says in verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter, Ruth, in verse 2 there. Where's she getting that from? You know, where's she getting that? Let me go and glean in the fields. Well, surely that's established on God's word, isn't it? This comes from the Old Testament. It was something that God himself had put in place, that the poor and the orphans and the widows could do this, and the foreigner that was in Israel, that the people of Israel were in their harvest to look out for people. And here is Ruth, a woman who's prepared to live out God's word. You know, she's probably very young in her faith at this point and knows very little of God's word, but she knows something of it. And she's prepared to put that into action. Often it's young believers, isn't it? And I'm talking about people who are young in their faith. Not often, they may be older in years, who are very prepared to put God's word into action, who are really prepared to live out what the scriptures say. And the way that God put this provision there was to show his goodness and kindness. He's the Lord of the harvest, and he chooses how the harvest was to be harvested. And if I just read a couple of passages here, really, or some verses, one from Leviticus here, Leviticus 19 and verses 9 and 10, and this is the Lord's instruction through Moses. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right to the edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Then in Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 to 22, when you reap your harvest in your fields and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all your work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it after. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless and the widows. You shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you, do this. And then again in Deuteronomy 9:10 and verses 18 and 19, there's a similar thing said there. This shows God's goodness and kindness. He's the Lord of the harvest, and he makes provision for those who do not have. And Ruth is inspired by God's word. She's inspired and warmed and encouraged by the goodness of God, who made provision, such provision. And she takes God's word on face value. Do we take God's word on face value? You see, that's faith. In this young Moabite woman, we see faith. And she trusts God for the outcome. You see, God's word should motivate us. When we see the goodness and the kindness and the generosity of God, that should motivate us. If the goodness, the kindness and the generosity of God cannot motivate us, what else will motivate us? Surely when we read about a God like this, that we should be motivated. Sometimes we need to discuss God's word. We need to talk about that. We're told that all the time. But it's safe. But do we live out God's word? Are we prepared to say with Ruth, I believe this. I believe this. I believe it's true. And I'm going to do what it says. What difference would it make in your life and mine if we did that with everything that God says in his word? What difference would it make for us as individuals? And what difference would it make for us as a church? If we take God's word as God's word and live it out. It's interesting, isn't it? It says that Ruth went out and she just happened to go to the field of Boaz. She just happened to go there. And she went out to glean. But God sends us out to the harvest fields as well. And if we truly take God's word, what will happen? Whose field will we end up in, so to speak? Who will we end up working alongside? And what impact will that make in their lives and in our own? You see, there's another thing here. Ruth knows that she needs God's grace as well. Look at what she says there in verse 2. She talks about, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.'" That's the second thing. Ruth trusts that God's grace will accompany her. Ruth trusts that God's grace will accompany her. Well, let's remind ourselves, I said, obviously, she's a woman. That was low class in these days. She's a foreigner, so she was really at the bottom of the stage. But I notice the key words there. "After him in whose sight I shall find favor." These are not passive words by Ruth. They're not passive and weak words. They're humble but confident words. Humble but confident words that God's grace will accompany her. That's what we need to be as well, to have humble confidence that God's grace will accompany us. She speaks of favor. It's a wonderful place to be in, isn't it? When we're totally conscious that we need God's grace. Of course we say as Christians we're conscious that we need God's grace, and we talk about it all the time. But I mean, it's quite different to talk about it, and then it's really quite different to be in a situation where you absolutely know that you need the grace of God to support you, because you're absolutely trembling and you're absolutely terrified in that circumstances and situation. Then it's a wonderful thing to know the grace of God in the difficult situations of life that we face. We can either end up like Naomi, who grumbled and said that the Lord had dealt bitterly with her, or we can end up like Ruth, hopefully like Ruth, who trusts and sees and knows that God is good in what he's doing. Now, the passage shows us really that she does find favor. Firstly, with the foreman in the field, verses 5 to 7. When Boaz arrives in the field, he asks, "Whose young woman is this?" And then the foreman explains, "Well, she asked me, could she glean in the field? And he gave her permission." So she finds, firstly, favor with the foreman. And then, secondly, she finds favor with Boaz. The rest of the chapter, and indeed the rest of the book, will show us how that favor works itself out with Boaz. You know, in difficult situations, we can find ourselves being embittered, or we can find ourselves being humbled. And you know, when we're humbled in situations in life, with that comes a great sense of God's well-being to us. When we know that we need God's grace, we have a great sense of the well-being of God that comes with that. It is quite a humbling thing to see how God actually intervenes in our own lives personally. It is a wonderful thing, isn't it, when you've been in prayer about something and just concerned about something, and you actually see the results of that, and you see God working in your life. It is quite something. It's very humbling. You think, God is actually taking notice of me. It can be overwhelming, isn't it? And indeed, we can end up when we see God working directly in our lives, the end result of that should be, as Ruth said to Boaz when he showed her kindness, and we'll look more at him next week. But she says to him in verse 10, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And in verse 13, then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." She's overwhelmed by the grace and by the goodness that she's been shown, ultimately from God through Boaz. It's wonderful, isn't it? How wonderful is God's grace? And what's really wonderful about the grace of God here is that Ruth experiences this grace from God in spite of having spent so much time with her mother-in-law, who was embittered. She was angry. She said, "The Lord has dealt bitterly with me." And yet, Ruth finds grace, and she sees God's goodness at work in her life. She was an alien. She was an outsider. And she sees God's goodness. She sees God working personally for her. And you know, this is very important, the story of Ruth. It's not simply a story of an individual. Yes, it is. But it's a story that fits into the bigger story of what God is doing. Because what God is doing in the field here, showing her grace through Boaz, has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus and God's infinite grace to millions of people across the world. He's putting into structure the plan in bringing the Lord Jesus Christ, the true kinsman redeemer. Nothing is more humbling than when we see God working directly and personally in our own lives. And the true response should be that to worship him and to honor him. And that's the third thing. Ruth honors God. You see, the Lord opens a door for her. The foreman gives her permission to work in the field, and she distinguishes herself. That's very important. When God opens the door of grace to you or to me, then we must distinguish ourselves in that grace. We must take that grace as the absolute goodness of God, and we must treat it that way. How does she distinguish herself? Well, look at verse 7. Boaz asks about who she is, and the foreman says, she said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. She distinguishes herself, isn't she? She takes advantage of the situation that God has opened to her, and she works in this field, distinguishing herself, standing out. Even the foreman has noticed how she has distinguished herself. Just a short rest. God does his part. Ruth does her part. When God opens the door to us, there's two responses. There should be automatic thankfulness, automatic praise, and automatic worship. And there needs to be commitment. You know, when God opens the door to us, do not soil that door that God has opened by showing lack of commitment, any of us. You know, God opens a door for us, and we must honor him as our God through the door that he has opened for us. And that includes the whole of our lives. It includes our actions, our deeds, and our attitude. And Ruth has these actions, deeds, and attitudes, knowing that God has opened a door for her. Every Christian, in our actions, attitudes, and deeds, should be seeking to honor God and to bring glory to him. And that can ultimately only come from hearts that are thankful for what God has done for us. See, if we don't have thankful hearts in regard to what God has done to us, then we will not ultimately honor him. We will not distinguish ourselves by the lives that we ought to live. But when we really realize that this is all God's goodness and God's complete mercy to me, then we will distinguish ourselves humbly and yet confidently. To put it another way, every Christian should stand out in whatever field they're in. In Ruth's case, it was in a barley field. In our case, it's your workplace, your home. Whatever it is you do, you should stand out as a Christian amongst non-believers. And we should be humble and diligent at the tasks that God has given to us. This shows character on our part. Well, let's just quickly here recap, and we'll bring this to a close. So Ruth was a woman of noble character. That's very important to us. Whoops. How will that impact us this week ahead of us? Ruth was a woman of noble character. She was a woman of courage, inspired through faith. How will that motivate us this week, Monday through in the workplace or wherever we are this week? Ruth was a woman that honored God through her diligence. How will that impact you, and how will that impact me this week? And Ruth, as well, was a woman of great reputation. She was a woman of reputation. That's what we're told here as well. Boaz had heard about her, and he had heard of what she had done for her mother-in-law, how she had left her own family, her own people behind. And he expresses that to her. and how she had cared for her mother-in-law. So her character and her reputation went ahead of her. Now that's quite an intimate conversation, and we'll see more of that next week. Whatever we may think of the Moabites, and the scripture doesn't put them in a good light at all, but on the human level, she left her family behind, she left her parents behind, and she wouldn't see them again in her lifetime. There were no phones, text messages, or emails in those days. And she left them behind. And Boaz sees that. It's a very intimate sort of commendation that he gives to her in that. So for ourselves as Christians, we need also to have courage. We are like aliens living in the world that we live in. And that's what Peter says, isn't it? To God's elect strangers, when he addresses those that he's writing to, like aliens living in the world. And this little passage that we've looked at tonight, Ruth shows us. She shows us how to do it. Ruth the Moabite shows us how to do it. She's a woman of noble character. She's a woman of courage. She's a woman that honors God. And she's a woman of good reputation. This is what we read. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." That ought to be our prayer as well, every day, to our Heavenly Father. Let me go to the field, to glean in the field of him in whose sight I will find favor. Well, may God bless his word to us, and may to him be the praise and the glory.